Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. You know, in honor of our Iron Chef Sunday, I thought I'd give us a little appetizer.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Sean.
Okay. Come on, bro. Come on.
Before the real feasting begins. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about you guys, it's great to come to a park for church. Okay. Pretty nice here. And though it might be a little overcast, it's pretty cool to be outside and do something a little different. You know, but I hope you've come not just for the food. I hope you've come not just because you stayed up all night last night making something awesome to get second place against me.
Amen.
I hate to be disappointed. But I hope you've come for spiritual reasons.
Right before the fall.
And really the very reasons we need to be here. In Matthew 4, verse 4, the Bible says this. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Right? Today, that's why we're here. To live on the words of God. If we take away the food, we take away the fellowship, we take away the park, and our service would still be okay. Because we'd have the word of God. So I really want to encourage you. The view behind me is beautiful. Take a few moments to enjoy it. And truly go, wow, God, you're awesome. But then get back focused on what we're talking about, amen?
Amen.
You might say, I can smell some delicious foods. Enjoy it. Wow, God is great. He's preparing some great food for us to eat. But then get back focused on why we're really here. And that's the Bible. You may say, wow, I really look forward to hanging out and talking with Gabe or with Mahe or with Giselle or somebody else. I just really am looking forward to the great fellowship we're going to have. And maybe play a little football later on, that'll be great. Think about it, go, wow, I'm lucky to be in such a great family of people. That God has surrounded me with some great people. But then, get back to what we're really here for. Get back to the message. And put into practice what we're listening and learning today. Amen? In Matthew chapter 16, we read this starting in verse 5. It says, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. See, we could say this, because we don't have a bread category today. Aware of their discussions, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gather? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, as we read this scripture, two things come to mind. Why was Jesus so opposed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Weren't these the religious people of the time? Weren't they the righteous leaders of the church at that time? You know, weren't they like us? Didn't they go to church and worship God? Maybe. You know, didn't they give a tithe? You know, later on we're going to give our contribution, give our tithe. Weren't they like us? They gave their contribution to God. They helped build the temple and keep the temple up to date and were sacrificial. You know, didn't they study the scriptures? You know, didn't they tie their phylacteries all over their robes, which are their scriptures, and to memorize the Bible and to try to live by them as best they can? Wasn't that what the Pharisees and Sadducees were?
No, bro.
Maybe. They definitely were the religious people of the time. But Jesus was opposed to them. So today, I've entitled my lesson, Some Food for Thought. Some Food for Thought. Because we've got to ponder, why did Jesus look down on these religious people? We've got to figure out. Because being a religious person, someone who goes to church, we've got to figure out, I don't want to be in the category of the Pharisees. I don't want to be in a category of people that Jesus looks down upon them.
Right?
Come on, bro.
So I want to figure out, what did they do that I need to do differently? So I've got 4 points for you today. My first point is they had a fear of people, not of the truth. Turn over to Matthew chapter 21. They had a fear of people, not of the truth.
Come on, bro.
Matthew chapter 21. starting at verse 23. Some food for thought before we get to real eating, amen? Matthew 21, verse 23 says this. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. You know, here we see the Pharisees, they came to Jesus, and what were they doing? Asking questions. It's good to ask questions, but only if you really want the truth.
Right.
Really, if you want the answer. That's when it's good to ask questions. See, the Pharisees were constantly asking questions, but never really seeking the truth.
Right.
They knew the truth with John the Baptist. They had a choice. They just chose not to accept one or the other. They said, you know what? No, we don't know. We don't know what the truth is. You know, have you ever met someone that just keeps asking the same question over and over again? Mm-hmm. And though you tell them the answer, they still don't really want to listen to you?
Yeah.
Because they're looking for something different. You know, I've had this experience a few times with my wife, Angela. She will come out wearing some type of outfit and she goes, this does not fit, make me look fat. I don't know if the women can ever relate to that question.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy, you are really put in a pickle. Because no matter what I say, it is the wrong answer. I got nothing. I go, honey, the truth is you look beautiful. Nothing you wear makes you look fat. You never tell me the truth. If I go, well, yeah, honey, you know, that's not so good looking. They should, Don, you're so rude. You never give me any compliments. You never think I look good. She doesn't want the truth. She doesn't want nothing from me. She's asking me questions like, oh, man, I'm like the Pharisees in this situation. What do I say? You know, I don't know what to do. So I tell her the truth. I say, honey, the truth is, you're beautiful. I think you're gorgeous. Whatever you wear makes you look beautiful. And she's just, doesn't want the truth. She doesn't want to listen to it. She walks away. You know, have you ever been that way in your life? How about you? What do you care more about? Your own opinion or the truth? See, when Angie comes out, she's got an opinion of herself. I'm fat. I don't know why she has that opinion of herself. It's a false opinion. But so, sometimes we can have false opinions. And we can live by our opinions and our emotions rather than the truth.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us the truth. It says, live this way and you'll be pleasing to me. John's baptism, it was from heaven. That was the truth. And yet the Pharisees chose not to accept it.
Come on, bro.
You know, the truth can be scary sometimes.
Yep.
It really can. Because it can rock our world. That's okay. Once in a while, our world needs to be rocked.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate Jackie getting baptized yesterday.
Amen.
You know, here's a woman that has supposedly been walking with God for 20-some years and thought she knew the truth. And, you know, she's had some devastating tragedies in her life. And yet when the truth was presented to her, she took a hard look at it and said, okay, I have to accept
Amen.
It. This is what the Bible says.
Right. Yeah.
You know, she even called the person up who supposedly had converted her before and says, you said all I had to do is pray Jesus into my heart. Where in the Bible does it say that?
Come on.
I don't read that in the Bible.
Amen.
Show it to me. Show me the truth. I want to know it.
Amen.
And when the other person hung up the phone and couldn't show her the truth, Jackie said, here's the truth. I need to be baptized to be saved.
Amen.
You know, are we people who are seeking the truth? The truth will rock our emotions sometimes. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Who'll look at the Bible and say, okay, that's not what I believe, but that's what it says, so I have to do it. I have to obey.
That's right.
That will accept the truth in our lives. You know, we can have an opinion. We can be taught something all of our lives that doesn't mean it's right.
Come on, bro.
It doesn't mean it's the truth. And if we don't accept the truth, then we're not truly not following Jesus. See, the Pharisees had a fear of people. They feared more their emotions, their opinions, and the people than the truth, and what the truth really had to say about them. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says to those people who believed in Him, says, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth. If you read the Bible and put it into practice, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It didn't matter just believing. The Bible also says the demons believe and shudder.
Yeah.
So, is believing enough? No. We got to hold to the truth. We got to put the Bible into practice in our life. See, the Pharisees, they had a fear of people, not of the truth. My second point, they went by their own traditions, not God's commands. Turn over to Mark chapter 7. They went by their own traditions, not the commands of God.
Go, bro.
You know, for you first principle people, I'm just doing a little review for you today. Make sure you guys do well on your tests, because I care for you. In Mark chapter 7, we read this starting in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God for your own traditions that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. You know, here he's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He says, you know what? You have these traditions, and they've taken the place of the commands of God. Now, are traditions in and of themselves evil and bad? No. We come to church on Sunday. That's a good tradition, is it not? However, what happens is sometimes we live by our traditions, and those traditions begin to take the place of the commands of God. The Bible commands us to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and our minds. Does coming to church supplant that? Do we come to church and do our duty and then go on about our ways? You know what many, many people do? They check in on Sunday. They go to service. Check it off the list. I'm righteous again this week. Here I go. And away they go. And that's their tradition. And yet if we look, the scripture that Robbie read today was a great example. It says the disciples met together when? Every day. Daily they were together hanging out, having a fun time. Think about your week. Were you living like a disciple of the first century? You know, it was great to see the ladies last weekend get baptized on Sunday. Amen. We were all there rejoicing at the beach, watching the two moms get baptized. That was awesome. And then on Monday, people were hanging out together on Monday. And then Tuesday, some people had Bible talks and were hanging out at Bible talks, doing Bible studies with different people, hanging out. That's awesome. Wednesday, we had first principles. We're together again, hanging out at first principles. Thursday, some other people had Bible talks, were hanging out on Thursdays, or having discipling times, or having Bible studies. On Friday, we had the Singles Campus Devotional. We watched Chris Dahl get baptized. Woo-hoo! That was awesome. And then a whole bunch of people went and fellowshiped at Ken's. They broke bread together and disrupted the Ken's quiet evening.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yesterday was an awesome day. We had such a great time. Anna came with us and watched the boys play soccer. It was great spending the morning with her. And then we went and hung out with the directors and ate a lot of ice cream. That was fantastic. And amen. Spent a lot of time with them. And then people were hanging out, cooking at our house. And we watched Jackie get baptized. That was great. A whole bunch of people there. And then, you know what? People came over to our house. The directors actually came and spent the night at our house.
Amen.
had a slumber party at our house last night. I'm in my 40s and I'm still having slumber parties.
Amen.
See, that's what disciples do. I just want to give you young people hope. You can have slumber parties. Even when you're old, it's so great. It's okay. You can do radical things. In fact, they brought their blow-up mattress and Angie and I were both envious. We're like, that's better than our bed. I was like, man, maybe I should come over and we'll switch with you. Our kids are so fired up because the disciples are meeting together every day. See, but we can live by our traditions. We can think, going to church, I need to go to church. Church is a good thing, but it can't be the thing that supplants the Word of God, the commands of God. You know, the Pharisees lived for their traditions. They'd make a big show of washing their hands. We think, okay, you know, most moms are like, what's wrong with washing your hands? You know, that's a good thing, you know, the Pharisees were doing. Well, yeah, it was a good thing, but they'd make a big show of it. They'd splash the water and rub their arms and dip in this pool of water. And then they'd come over here to show that they were being clean. But it had nothing to do with the spiritual cleanliness that God wants us to have. See, they had taken their traditions way too far. The tradition that Jesus talks about here, starting in verse 9, going on, is the tradition of Korban that they had started. See, in those days, there was no social security. There was no retirement plans. There was no 401k plans with your employment. There was no stocks to invest in or whatever. Your retirement plan were your kids. Your kids' generosity to you. And so to honor their father and mother, people would be responsible for taking care of their parents. But what was happening is the elders had made a tradition called Korban. Instead of giving the money to your parents, you could dedicate it to the temple. And your parents couldn't say anything about it. Because you were giving it to God first. If you want to be super fired up, you could give to God first and neglect your parents. Sounds good, but it totally superseded God's command. God's command was honor your father and your mother. Take care of them so it may go well with you. See, the Pharisees lived for their traditions, not God's commands. You know, I think about the Orange Prayer List. It's great to have these again. I don't know about you guys, but I still look back at the old one and I'm still checking off things that God is answering.
Amen.
It's awesome. I know yesterday we were hanging out at the ice cream social with Ma Hay. We were talking and a woman that I met playing soccer a few weeks back, I really liked her and her husband. I connected. I saw her. And I said, hey, I want to introduce you to my wife. And so I took her over and she started talking to Angie and Maya, and they were talking. Well, it comes to find out that her husband was a professor of Chris's a long time ago. And Chris and Maya remember them. Chris is fired up because they started talking, and I don't know if you remember Maya's prayer from the last list, is that she would meet an athletic woman
right. Who
had two teen boys and a teen daughter.
Right. Woo!
This woman loves to play soccer. She plays soccer 4 days a week.
Right.
She's got two teen boys and a teen daughter.
Woo!
Maya's first thought was, she could be the one.
Come on.
Yeah.
She's married, and maybe she'll come to church instead of the Bible. It wasn't just a thing to check off the list.
Right.
It's her heart. She's like, wow. She was so fired up. She's like, she could be the one. I could hang out with her. Maya's like, I don't like playing soccer a whole bunch, but I will for her.
Amen.
That's what it takes. I'll go let someone kick me in the shins. You know, I want to encourage you with the prayer list. Don't just check them off. They're not things just to we have a prayer list, let's just go pray through them, and you know, then I'm done with my prayer for the day, and amen. No. These are things that all of us have put on our hearts. These are like the number one things on our hearts to pray for. I put that I want my mom to start studying the Bible. Why? Because that's the number one thing on my heart. Marley and Felicia have inspired me to continue to keep praying for my mom that she can become a disciple. And I believe one day she will. I pray it's this day that she decide now to start studying the Bible. Let's not just make it a tradition that every other month we're going to have an Orange Prayer List and we'll just pray for it for about a month. No, let's see how God is working in incredible ways.
Amen.
If you go back and look at the old prayer list, God has answered at least directly, completely, at least 20 prayers on that list.
Amen.
That's amazing to see how God has moved in so many ways and to see Him still moving in so many ways through that list. But only because it's not a tradition. It's our hearts that we're putting before God. God wants us to pray and to trust in Him. And He will answer, amen? My third point, the Pharisees thought they were owed everything. not own everything. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Pharisees thought they were owed everything, not owing everything. Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9. Starting in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, the problem with the Pharisees and the problem with most religious people is that you believe you deserve your salvation. You know, what are you confident in? Where do you place your confidence? Are you confident in your own righteousness? Your own abilities? Your own quiet times? And I shared my faith with 25 people today, so I must be righteous. You know, where do we get our righteousness from? I think a lot of times we can be tempted by Satan to believe that we're righteous because of all the things we do.
Come on, bro.
And we think we're owed everything. You know, do you deserve a place in heaven? When you stand before God, are you able to say, yep, let me in. Where's my room? Jesus said he was preparing it for me. I want to see it. It better be blue. I like blue. That's my favorite color. Is that going to be your attitude? We can act that way. Because we become confident in our own salvation versus God's grace in our lives. You know, who do you compare yourself to? Here, this tax collector, or this... Yet the Pharisees Calerna says, God, I'm grateful I'm not like these other guys. I'm grateful that I'm not adulterous, that I'm not a robber or evildoer. I'm grateful I'm good. I'm grateful. You should be grateful you have me. Man, I tell you what, God, you must be fired up in heaven because I'm here. I'm the bee's knees, baby. Let me tell you. No wonder I'm in here in God's kingdom. You guys could all use me. You know, that was his attitude. He's like, I'm great, glad I'm not like that guy over there. You know? I'm glad I'm not like those guys down there. That could be our attitude sometimes. But it can't be. When we look around, we gotta say, wow, my sin is horrible. I don't deserve to be here. I just stand before you guys and say, I do not deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in Hawaii, let alone to be an evangelist, to go to preach. I don't deserve to be married, to have kids. I don't deserve your friendship. I haven't done anything to earn any of that. If anything, I've done a lot to not earn it, to not deserve it.
Come on, bro.
You know?
Come on, bro.
If I consider my life and just all the things I've done, it's like, wow, God has shown me such great mercy for each of us. And yet, the Pharisees, they thought they were owed everything. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll see another example of the heart we need to have.
Come on, bro.
I know it's a little windy, it's a little tough. Sorry about that.
Perfect, bro.
It's a reminder that God is in charge, right?
He's like, turn the page.
Yeah. Go ahead if you can. 1 Corinthians 5. We read this in verse 9. Paul's talking here. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15, sorry.
Oh,
there it is.
I had a 5 minute. 1 Corinthians 15. Just keeping you guessing. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 9. Anna, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe." You know, it's because of God's grace that Paul was who he was. He understood that he wasn't owed anything. but that he owed everything to God. He was really grateful that God had given him a chance to be an apostle. You know, how grateful are you in your life? You know what evidence there is of gratefulness? Hard work.
Right.
How hard are you working for God?
Come on.
Paul said, I work harder than everybody else. He goes, but not me. The grace of God in me is what's working hard. Because I realize I've been given something that I do not deserve. And I am not going to take it for granted. You know, at your job, how much of a servant are you at your job? Are you grateful in a time when the economy is horrible and there's so many people looking for work? Are you grateful for the job that God has allowed you to have?
Amen.
Are you the greatest servant at your work? If you're a college student, I want to talk to you about your grades.
Come on.
How grateful are you in school? Do you realize that you are in the top 1% of all of humankind? Only 1% of the people in this world even get a chance to go to college.
Come on, bro.
You know how many people around this world would die for a college education? And yet you're taking it for granted. You're getting D's and C's. You're not doing your best and not trying your hardest in class because you're ungrateful. You think you deserve that college education that's going to lead to a great career and a great job. That scholarship that gives you pretty much a full ride. Man, I'm going to be paying back my student loans for the next 15 years. I'm going to be almost 60 before my student loans are actually finally paid off. Angie doesn't like me too much when I talk about my student loans. Mind you, the bad stuff. But, you know, do we realize how grateful we need to be?
Come on, bro.
For the things we have in our life. For us that are parents. Do we realize how grateful we need to be and have an opportunity to help our kids have a great life? How to have something that we didn't have growing up. I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up knowing Jesus. I think about all the stuff and junk I got into and all the trouble and all the harm that's out there, the evil that's so prevalent around us. And we have an opportunity to help our kids miss all that, to be protected from all that. Wow, we need to be grateful and work hard for that. You know, I really want to lift up Martin and Lynette. And I think about a couple that works hard in the church, it's them. And what I see in Martin, I'm so inspired to be able to hang out with him and have fun with him, and just a great brother with him, is how hard he's willing to work for God. Because he's so grateful for his salvation. He does not take it for granted. He works harder than anybody else in the church. You know, Martin oftentimes has to get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning to drive over to Kona to work at the airport. That's where he works. To be there at work at 4 o'clock. For us, we'd be like, oh man, I have to get up so early. Martin's like, I'm so excited, it's my time with God.
Amen.
I drive over the top by the mountain, and sometimes I just get out and I look at the stars, or I just look out and say, wow, God, this is awesome. And I'm praying the whole time, God, thank you for this, and praying for this person. I got the prayer list next to me, and I'm praying for all my brothers and sisters of the church. And, you know, he's praying for his dad to become a Christian. He's working hard for Mike Silva to become a Christian.
Amen.
It's just a guy that's grateful.
Yeah.
And I hang out with him, I'm humble. It's like, wow, I need to work harder. Because that brother's working hard, I need to work harder too. I need to be grateful like him. I see his wife who, you know, she has to struggle because Martin leaves and he's gone for work for a long time. So she's home with Linnell and that keeps her busy and stuff like that. But she's so grateful that her husband's joined her and is a Christian now. And she's just reaching out to all her friends. She's studying the Bible with this person and that person, studying with Jackie, and just wants to help different people become Christians because she's grateful. She's working hard. Because she's grateful for the salvation and mercy that God has shown her. You know, our gratitude shows in our hard work.
Right, bro.
The Pharisees, they worked hard, but it was for a show, for themselves. They wanted to look good, but they weren't willing to go all the way to help people. See, they thought they were owed everything. They thought they deserved their position of righteousness. They deserved to be looked up to be respected. Yeah, I've got a title. Look at me. You know, is that your heart? Do you feel like you deserve all that you have? I think we can take for granted the stuff that we have about us. We can take for granted the households we get to live in. You know, I remember going to the Philippines and visiting the church in the Philippines once. And I got to meet some of the brothers. You know, it's a huge Asian missions conference. So there's people from Korea, there's people from Japan, Thailand, all over the place. And you know, we're in this huge fellowship, so We broke out, and I was brothers at one time and sisters, and I met some of the brothers from the Philippines. I said, I just want to hang out with you guys. And they were fired up. Yeah, a brother from the United States wants to hang out with us. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, let's just hang out. They said, we're going to take you to our house. And it was 10 single brothers lived in a one-bedroom house.
Amen.
They were super fired up. You know why they were super fired up? Because almost all the other singles had to live at home because they could not afford to move out of their house. Plus, they were having to help take care of their parents. So these brothers had one bed. They shared it. They would take turns. They were on a 10-day rotation. And every 10th day, you got the bed. Their place was so small. You walked in, it was smaller than this building. You walked in one room, it was like this room, was the kitchen, living room, a dining room, all rolled into one. On one wall was like the kitchen. It had a sink and like a little hot stove. They didn't even have a stove or an oven or a microwave. They didn't have any of that stuff, right? And then it was just mats on the floor. I think they had a couch. Then you'd walk around behind it. It was like going into the bathroom. And you'd go in the bathroom and it was a shower head and a hole in the middle. And they used that room was for their shower, for going to the bathroom, and washing their dishes. It was all in that one little room. It was a little square room. So they would wash the dishes in the hole and use your shower and stuff like that. When you had to go to the bathroom, you went in the hole and, you know, washed it down with water. When you took a shower, and then, you know, that was the room to be clean. But they were so grateful. I remember walking away and being ashamed. It's like, wow, if my brothers can be fired up about this, what am I complaining about? I was humbled to be with them. I think for some of us, we take for granted our lives so very much. You believe you deserve what you've been given. And you've been given much compared to so many people all over the world. You know, the Pharisees believed they were owed everything. That they had everything because they were righteous enough, they deserved it. But how about us? Are we going to be like the Pharisees? Or be like someone like Jesus, like Paul? Say, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. We need to be grateful for our lives, amen?
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Matthew chapter 3, our last point. They didn't deal with sin. Matthew chapter 3. They didn't deal with sin. In Matthew chapter 3, a story that we alluded to earlier, John comes preaching in the desert. This is what he says starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Now here we see John coming out of the desert preaching. And it was like a spiritual revival was happening. People were fired up. There hadn't been a prophet coming to land in 200 years. And so all of a sudden John comes out and he starts preaching out from the desert. And people are like, whoa, something awesome is happening. And it would start coming from all over the area, from Jerusalem and all the other towns in Judea, coming out and saying, whoa, they'd hear it, especially they'd be so fired up, they say, man, I gotta confess, I've been in this sin and I've been in this sin, and I need to get right with God. John would be pulling locusts out of the air. Yeah, you gotta be right with God, alright? Give me some honey. And he'd get some honey and pour it on the locusts and eat some more.
What a beast.
He was a fired up guy, a preacher of God. A strange guy. They're like, whoa, I'm crazy. But that didn't hold them back. Because they wanted to deal with their sin. It said they were confessing their sin and getting baptized. But there was a second group of people who heard the message at the same time. But they were just watching, not acting. They were reading the scriptures, but not doing it. They were hearing, maybe even getting a little self-conscious and guilty, but not changing. John says, "You brood snakes. You evil monstrosities. Who warned you to come out here? That's what he called. He was fired up to talk to the Pharisees. What was the problem with the Pharisees? They didn't want to deal with their sin. Did any of them confess their sin?
Nope.
Did any of them get right? Did any of them sin? All of them did. We all sin. That's what the Bible teaches us, right? The people wanted to get right with God. They were fired up. They didn't care who saw or who heard. They just wanted a right relationship with God. And wow, the opportunity has come. I want to be right with God. I don't want to hold on to what I'm holding on to anymore. I want to make God the focus of my life. And they confess their sins. John says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Question for you, where's the fruit in your life?
Right.
Where's the fruit of repentance in your life? If you ask the person who is closest to you and knows you the best, if you ask them this, can you see repentance in my life? What would they say? Would they say they see repentance in your life? You know, if they're really telling you the truth, would they go, no, I don't? Or, yeah, I see it. You're doing a great job in this area. See how you're repenting. That's awesome. Or would they say, well, a little bit. I got news for you. A little bit is not repentance.
Right.
A little bit means you're almost there. Get going. You can do it. You know, we got to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, but are you willing to ask and hear the truth? Are you willing to ask and hear the truth about your life? Or are you going to ask and then be defensive, whatever the answer may be? You know, that was the Pharisees. You know, when people deal with sin in their lives, it's obvious. You know, in the church we have discipling relationships. Why do we have discipling relationships? Well, first, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 teaches us we all sin. You may think you're perfect, but you're not. The Bible tells you opposite of that. Everyone sins. And so we need a friend to help us with that sin, to overcome that sin, to help identify even what that sin may be. The Bible also tells us sometimes our hearts are deceitful above all else.
Right.
Sometimes we can look at ourselves and think, I'm pretty good at this area, pretty good. And we can be completely deceived. You know, if I thought to myself, I'm a great long distance runner, I'd be deceived. Friday night, I was a little deceived.
Amen.
We were playing a little, you know, capture the flag, and Levi, I had him cornered. And I thought, he's close enough, I can dive. And I'll get him. I landed at least 5 feet short of Levi. And my side still hurts where I thud on the ground. Like, oh man, that was a mistake. I was deceived. I still thought I was in my 20s for some reason. I had a momentary lapse of age reality. You know, I'm grateful somebody else caught Levi later on as I withered in pain. You know? But the fact is, we can be deceived about our abilities and who we are truly before God.
Right.
And so we need help. That's why we have discipling relationships.
Come on, bro.
You know, we need discipling relationships so we can confess our sin and pray for one another. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, pray, confess your sins, and pray for each other so you may be healed. Are you confessing? Are you praying so you can be healed? Do you have a relationship with people in the church? That's why we have the discipling relationships. But it shouldn't just be the discipling relationships. They should be all of our relationships, helping each other to draw close to God. See, we have to be willing to deal with sin. The Pharisees were unwilling to deal with sin. They didn't want to deal with it in life. They listened to John, they heard all the preaching, but they said, whatever. They still didn't know if he was from heaven or from people. Many months later, when Jesus talked to him about it. See, we got to be willing to deal with sin. Jesus said, beware the yeast of the Pharisees. Because they fear men and not the truth. They follow their own traditions and not the Word of God. They felt they were owed everything and not owing everything. And they did not deal with their sins. Jesus strongly opposed the Pharisees. They were flat wrong. Today, a little food for thought. Before we eat later on, are you living like a person who's righteous that Jesus wants to spend time with? Or are you like the Pharisees? religious, but not changing. Not holding on and doing the things that the Bible calls us to do.